Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself.
No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Walks up going, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone. We're going to sink the ship over here. Everyone's on this side this morning. Hello, can you hear me over there? Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Reese, and I'm the leader of the praise band, much to their chagrin up here. But I'm so thrilled to welcome you to worship this morning, whether you're on the right half or the left half or you're in the center. Does not matter, but so thankful for you to be here this morning so we can continue to talk about the love of God that is there for us and how we can then take that love and share it with others. We continue this morning singing some familiar songs to us about the love of God and about how we can use that right here and making this his kingdom right here on earth. So let's stand this morning and start with Praise Him. Let's see if we can hear you all the way from over there to over here. Really let your voices carry a lot this morning, and let's sing.
Praise is God, our God and King. All living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing. From valleys low to mountains high, from every distant shore. The call goes out, the people rise to sing. They'll sing.
God and King.
All creatures of our God and King, all living things will praise. From the ends of the earth, the saints will rise to sing. They'll sing.
Praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Let all the people praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Let all creation sing. Glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you. Worthy to receive the glory, honor belongs to you forever. Our King and Lord, all praise belongs to you.
Sing it up nice and big.
Let all the people praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Let all creation sing. Praise Him, praise Him. Let all the people praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Let all creation sing.
You could see what I see sometimes, which is the dancing, the bobbing back and forth, the kids jumping around and playing. It's really fun. We continue a song that we started last week called Reckless Love, and thinking about how this fits into what we're talking about during this sermon series, about taking His love and using it to love others. Let's sing together.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away.
That when we didn't deserve it, that love was still there for us. And how many times we fail to give that love right back. Let's keep singing and keep exploring this text.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. of no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, finds till I found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you.
Opportunity to pass the peace of Christ. Let's always remember the love that our God has for us. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. What a joy to be together. I'm Tom Carver, the senior pastor here at the Asbury United Methodist Church. This morning, we're going to be hearing from Pastor Heather Doerr, who's continuing our sermon series on reckless love. I just love that theme song that we just sing about the overwhelming, reckless love of God, how it chases us down, and it's a great way to remind us of the mission that God has given to us. So today, Pastor Heather will be continuing that and think about how we expand the circle upon which that God's love reaches out through us. A few things I want to share in terms of the life of the church that are happening. One is that, and you might see these in the Did You Know part of your bulletin, but next week will be a fifth Sunday, and we're doing something new, or trying to do something on the fifth Sunday of the month, have a special activity, something fun, and next week it'll be trivia night. And so doors open at 5, there'll be, you know, there's more information that's there in the good news, but in the Did You Know Today, so I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a fun thing next week to do as a church. Proceeds will help Mark Twain School, that we're making a connection with them, so any money that we raise will help. We've made some good connections with Mark Twain School that'll help them. Also, coming up October the 6th is the Crop Walk. This is an annual walk throughout the Quad Cities that we participate with other churches. It raises funds for hunger. Some of it stays here. Some of it goes to help crop work internationally. There were the two tables at both entryways. If you saw those, you can sign up to be a walker, or you can pledge for those of us that are walking. I don't know that I'll do the whole thing, but I'm going to lean on Linda to do at least maybe a couple miles, and you can pledge financially those that will be walking. The next thing I do want to share with you, we've got isn't it cool to be thinking now about Christmas? It is not too early. And so, Linda, are you going to speak to this a bit? This is my wife, Linda, and she's got a word to share with us about One Starry Night, a great new thing we're going to offer in the life of our church.
Hi.
Sure. Okay. Speak right into it.
The Asbury Church Visionary Team has set our vision goals for two things: to reach children and their families, and to raise disciples for Christ. And with that in mind, we would like to introduce a church-wide Christmas event given for our families in our community. This event, called One Starry Night, will give those a chance to experience what life was like in the town of Bethlehem when Jesus was born. There will be guides. We'll be escorting groups along a number of stations as they learn about the journey Mary and Jesus took that special night. Afterwards, then they come upstairs, and in that fellowship hall, they'll have a chance to visit the town of Bethlehem, and the kids can make crafts and have snacks and things like that. So at this time, though, there's an example I want to show, a video of just what a church that has done this, what it kind of looks like, so you can get it a picture in your head what we're talking about. So if we could show the video.
If you see Roman soldiers, please let me know. They don't like me telling the story. But kids, come close. I have to share something with you. Have you been to Bethlehem before? Oh, this is a wonderful, mysterious night. Did you know that King David was born here? This is the birthplace of King David. And 1,000 years ago, King David unified the Jewish nation. He brought the Jewish nation together. He set in motion a confidence of the Jewish people. But unfortunately, King David's not here today. You know who our king is today? King Herod. And King Herod's not a really nice guy. Right now, while you're here, you're going to be counted in the census. And this is just King Herod's way of making sure we get counted for more and more taxes. Taxes to help King Herod get these lavish, beautiful palaces built and these magnificent cities.
Listen up, everyone. I'm looking for the baby Jesus. Has anyone here seen the baby Jesus? Well, if you do, King Herod would like to meet this baby Jesus. So if you see him, let me know. Now go back to what you were doing.
Welcome to our village of Bethlehem. There's some shepherds right down on the hillside there with some great news.
On the hillside, there's angels. Go see. Come see.
I have never seen Bethlehem so busy. You would think people would stay with their own relatives. I guess some just don't have the room. You know, I've let a few people pitch tents out back.
How's that young couple? The ones with the baby.
Ah, those two. I hear they're just doing great.
This baby's name is Jesus.
So that's just an example of what this could look like. So today we just wanted to show you and introduce it. We will have tables in the back of in the hallways and sign up, but we'll do that even more in the coming weeks and months, just getting people signed up and just excited about this Christmas event. Thank you.
Doesn't that look fun? Yeah, so especially an outreach to the people in the neighborhood, the community. And Linda, we haven't said exactly whether the first or second Sunday of December. So the date hasn't fully been set yet, but it'll be early in December, probably a Sunday afternoon, either the first or second day. So this is all a new thing that's coming along in the life of our church. Thank you for that announcement in the video. Something I feel like Christmas already. This is exciting, yeah. Hey, one final thing. I do want to call your attention. 4 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have a special movie, Everything Connects, our Stewards of Creation group. There'll be discussion, but, you know, it's a youth-oriented way to remind ourselves that everything connects. And our work that we do to preserve God's creation is an important work. And so this is something for the community, but again, I'll be there. I hope you'll come too at 4 o'clock this afternoon for that movie and speakers and some discussion time. Okay, anything else? Announcement-wise? You know, part of what we do when we gather together is to be the community, the people of God, is to pray for each other and support each other and have a time to share those concerns and so on. And so if I hadn't mentioned it already, the ushers will have some attendance registration pads. We do want you to sign those and pass them through the pew and so that we can note who's here today. But while we're doing that now, if you've got a prayer concern or a joy, something to share with the congregation, if you want to raise your hand, our musicians will bring a microphone to you, give you a chance to share that and so that we can be in prayer for one another today. Yeah, Andy.
I'm Andy Erickson. I have a joy. I've been kind of sharing the progress of my dad post-stroke lately, but yesterday was a great joy that he was always a road runner and ran marathons, and yesterday he returned to racing, and he participated in a one-mile race yesterday, and I got to help him with that, and that was a great joy to him and a great joy to all of us. He didn't plan it, but he started running into all his old running buddies, and they were all there at the finish for him, and it was a really...
Wow, praise God. Yeah, that's a long comeback, but he's still going. Andy, that's terrific. Yeah, Rebecca.
She's still in ICU right now, but she's progressing in the way that they're hoping for her. My sister texted yesterday that she was annoyed by her lack of ability to do things, which we all are taking as a great sign, because if a 15-year-old is annoyed, that means she's got enough energy to be annoyed.
Praise God.
So please just continue prayers. She still is going to be in the ICU till about Tuesday, just so they're keeping her monitored to make sure everything's healing and, you know, going correctly, and then she'll be onto a regular room. But thank you for your
so
prayers.
Great news. And where is she at, Rebecca?
She's
in the Quad Cities, or
no,
she?
No, she's in Chicago.
Okay.
I think she's at Lurie's Children's Hospital.
Okay, so in the Chicago area. But we want to pray for a teenage girl, cancer surgery. It went well. They've got it. But continued prayers for Rebecca's niece in that way. Thanks. Joys for answered prayers so far, but there's more to come. We want to keep them in prayer. Yeah, Marion.
This is hard. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers, your love, your support over the last several days and weeks. My mom passed a couple weeks ago, and it's, as I said earlier in Agape, that this has been, over the last couple weeks, the most incredible roller coaster, peaks and valleys. My mom, Susie, she was such a huge influence. Well, anybody who knew her in their lives, and they were community leaders. They helped so many people. Service that was just. But with regard to the grandchildren, there were so many that she influenced musically. My mom was a singer. That was one of her passions, was her music. And she shared that love with my daughter, Angie. And from the time she was little, Angie, she wanted to be a music teacher, she wanted to, and these goals. And after the funeral Saturday, we put Angie on a plane to New Orleans to the Sweet Adelines International Competition, which is of 22,000 women around the world. Her quartet finished number 6 in the world.
Wow.
On Friday, and so for her to, the emotions I have to imagine my daughter Angie was experiencing on that stage, and she's a professional singer, but to get up there after your mentor, role model, and one of her great loves, you know, after that was just, Angie's professionalism just blew me away, how she was able to do it, and after it was over, you know, your children, they watched her as she left that stage, and just, the shoulders were, She was crying and that, but I thought, you made it through, and they are number six in the world. So that is incredible. Gail was one of her teachers at Augie, so a personal connection. But yeah, it was just, like I said, it's been a just a roller coaster, and thank you, everyone, okay, so much for all your love and prayers.
Okay, thank you, Marian. Of course, you know, we all have been blessed by your mother through you, so we're all grateful for her life as well. Yeah, thank you. Anything else? You know, your mom was a great Cubs fan.
Yes.
Yeah, so yesterday maybe wasn't such a good day for her. But
Last weekend, the funeral, the visitation and the celebration of life was all Cubs. Every sea of blue, just all these people Cubs. And then we'd already had tickets to go to the game last Sunday. So we went to the game and honored her. And they scored 47 runs in those 3 days, the Cubs did. So I think she was up there just cheering.
That was a pretty good day.
Yes.
That's a great way to have a visitation, a family outing to enjoy what she enjoyed with you. So, okay, anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, this is not a Cardinals guy, are you? Or anyway, I just want to be cautious. Heather's got a sermon later on about reaching across it. Yeah.
This is about learning to love yourself or the Cardinals.
All right.
My name is Ralph Addison. I've been battling a wound on my foot for over a year, and the medical people put a cast on my leg to try and speed the healing, and all it did was give me an infection. And in the process of getting the infection on my foot, it ripped up my right knee, which had been doing all the work. So the doctors put me on a walker and told me to stay home, do nothing, absolutely go nowhere. So Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I got to watch three of the most wonderful baseball games that I have ever seen in my life. So I pray for my foot to heal so that I can quit watching them, but one more game. We got one more game today.
Okay, before we go too far down that road, prayers for healing for Ralph in his leg. Anything else? You know, we do want to keep in prayer. I've been reading and watching about the flooding down in Texas. Just incredible. We'd lived through the flood in Cedar Rapids area, and so a little bit of a taste of what they're going through. So we would certainly want to keep those people in our prayers. And yeah, and actually, I was just in Sioux City yesterday. There's flooding up in the Dakotas and still also coming back up in Hamburg in southwest Iowa. And so certainly we want to be in prayer. We're in a new day, a new world. And that we're going to need to support each other through some pretty challenging times. So, anything else? Well, certainly we've got a lot to be in prayer for, but also a lot to praise God for. Healing, hope, strength, guidance, no matter what. And so I invite you, we're going to spend a few moments just in a silent prayer. I'll offer a word of prayer, and then I'll invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's bring our hearts before God in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, powerful, awesome God. Today we come before you in prayer, and our hearts are united with all those who are in need of healing or comfort or strength. We're separated from a loved one, maybe just by distance or even in their passing over to be with you. Help us be reminded that their presence will continue to be an influence in our lives, and that we can continue to be an influence in the lives of others for your kingdom. We thank you for the healings that have been happening and the recoveries that are at work. And we are aware that there are still those that need your touch, that are going through a difficult time. We pray for your comfort, for your strength, for your physical healing and endurance, but also for the confidence of knowing no matter what, you are with us and you will see us through. and you've given to us each other to support and care for one another. While the rain is blessing us here, we're aware that it's providing some difficult times, both in Texas and in South Dakota and Southwest Iowa. We just pray for those people and pray for the opportunity that we would know how we could help to be a part of the solution, how we can help make a difference in this world, and how you would touch us, our hearts, to help answer the prayers that we're asking for other people today. Help us be a part of the solution. We know this because of your son, Jesus, who gave his life for us, who came that we might have life both now and forever and abundantly. And so it is with the confidence of children of Jesus, of yours, that we pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, again, Pastor Heather is going to be sharing with us more on the theme of reckless love, and especially enlarging the circle. And so I want to share with you a passage out of Paul's letter to the Galatians, where Paul is being reminded about how the importance of faith is what unites us, and that the separations, the classifications that we might have, no longer apply in the kingdom of God. So you can follow along with me in the Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 23, if you've got your pew Bible or brought your Bible home with you, or you can follow along there on the screen. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Christians in Galatia. And part of what he says is this. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Greek or Jew. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the I will remember your infinite. strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me.
Let's take an opportunity now to pray the unison prayer on the screen. We come this morning weighed down by our shame and guilt. We carry with us the shame of what others have done to us and the guilt of what we have done to others. Help release those burdens, O Lord, and to take up the yoke of forgiveness and love. It is a lighter load to carry and a gift of grace that you offer. Thank you for the chance to start over again. Amen. And we continue singing with Your Love Defends Me.
Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me.
Today we continue our series based on Reverend Tom Berlin's book, Reckless Love. And if you haven't picked up a copy yet, I'm sure there's still more by either entrance. This is chapter 2, so you are not very far behind. Or even if you've picked it up and you're like, oh yeah, I got to read that. Chapter 2. Chapter 1 last week, our own Reverend Tom Carver talked about beginning with love and having our daily routine and our mindset to be beginning with love. It's something we have to practice and prepare for because it isn't always easy to begin with love. Today we're looking at the second chapter of the book, Expand the Circle. I really enjoyed some of the pieces of this second chapter. Tom Berlin talks about the calling of Jesus' disciples. He called some fishermen to come and follow him, and they left their nets and they followed him. On page 40 of the book, it says, it would seem like a good idea for Jesus to pick disciples who worked well in teams, who were compatible, amicable, or helpful. Instead, Jesus' next choice is a tax collector for the Roman government. It continues on page 41. The local religious authorities were in the majority opinion when they complained to Peter, James, and John, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Had Simon responded, I wonder if he would have said, I have no idea. Truly, I've been wondering the same thing myself all day. When I joined up, I had no idea that guy was going to be part of the deal. What Jesus does here at the very start of his ministry is a microcosm of what would later happen in the early church and what continues into the worldwide church of today. The church is an unlikely crew. It's a ragtag group of people who would have never come together on their own and who does not come together naturally or easily. A group that never would have come together unless it was under the guidance of Jesus. After Jesus' resurrection, the early church had to live in the tension of both Jews and non-Jews and try to figure out what that meant. They had slaves who were drawn to a message of hope and freedom, and they had slave owners who were drawn to the same message. They had to figure out what that meant. The church has always had to deal with the tension of different personalities. No wonder in his letter to the Galatians, Paul had to remind them that they weren't Jew, they weren't Greek anymore, they weren't slave, they weren't free. They weren't Cubs fans or Cardinals fans. They were all one in Christ Jesus. I bet that right now you can think about someone who is a Christian, but whose personality or political views or lifestyle choices or something else makes them really, really hard to be with. Someone you wouldn't want to go camping with for 3 years, like Tom Berlin talks about the disciples doing with Jesus. In fact, I guarantee that there is someone in this room right now, in our own church, who was so dissimilar from you that you would not go camping together. And you'd have a hard time working on a team with this person. Someone who might have opposite goals, opposite ways of doing things, or an opposite personality. Being in community is easier said than done. And I think Reverend Tom Berlin does a great job of talking about that tension in this chapter. It's an issue that the church has always faced. If God loves each of us and calls each of us to be part of the church, how can we celebrate the diversity of gifts without killing each other? This morning, I want to take it a step further, and I want to look at how we can expand the circle to those that we are not already in relationship with, those that aren't already part of the church camping gang. I wanted to share one of the more difficult stories of Jesus' ministry. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged after him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Over the centuries, plenty of theologians have tried to soften Jesus' response in this story. They suggest that Jesus is using the Canaanite woman as an example for his disciples to make a point and to teach them something. They suggest that Jesus is pushing the Canaanite woman and challenging her like he often did with the religious leaders. They suggest that the word Jesus used to refer to her people was the little form of dogs, saying that she was like a cute puppy. I don't know if I can buy that. I don't know if I'm comfortable with Jesus using a desperate woman as an example, challenging a desperate woman to re-examine her assumptions, or calling a desperate woman a mutt. Dogs were not cute little puppies in Jesus' time. They were street wandering scavengers nobody wanted around. To be called a dog was not a cute compliment. In fact, you might think about the implications today of calling someone a female dog. I know that this story makes me uncomfortable. It challenges the boxes that I thought I could fit Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, into. This is a story that suggests that Jesus was vulnerable to the same prejudices and racism that we can all be exposed to. I imagine many of us have parents or grandparents who have said things that they just wouldn't be able to say anymore because of the prejudice or racism that wouldn't be tolerated. What about Jesus? Could he be speaking a prejudice he learned at home or within the community that raised him? How vulnerable might we be to speaking the same things? In the gospel text, Matthew uses the word Canaanite, which is an old, outdated word even at the time of his writing. He was speaking of an ancient grudge against those that inhabited the land that was taken over by the Israelites after they escaped from Egypt and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. The Israelites were then commanded by God to destroy every single Canaanite in order to completely take over that land and keep it pure for God's people. Now, the Canaanites were never completely killed, despite God's wishes, and they remained to challenge, to intermarry, and to tempt the Israelites with their pagan gods. And that all happens hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. Canaanite was an old word, but we can hear how it inspired prejudice and closed-off thoughts. And somehow, maybe one of the most interesting things about the story is that this Canaanite woman appears to be the hero of the story. She's the one we sympathize with, and Jesus is the one keeping the circle from expanding. The disciples are rolling their eyes and they're covering their ears in annoyance. Jesus seems totally unaware as he ignores her. And when Jesus finally acknowledges her, the woman is the one with the quick wit who gets what she wants at the end of the story. In fact, Jesus seems to change his mind or change his plan, and he gives in to the woman's request and seemingly cracks open the door for his ministry to expand beyond the circle of the Jewish people. Perhaps Jesus didn't just come for 12 Jewish men, men who, despite their differences in lifestyle and occupation, were still very much alike. Perhaps Jesus also came for the foreigner, for the female, for the forgotten. Perhaps Jesus came for the person that we don't know, for the person that we've never interacted with before. Perhaps the circle is even wider than we could possibly imagine. I think it's pretty easy to say that God's love has no limits, that the circle is as wide as all across the earth, but it's harder to live into that reality. And God's love may have no limits, but our human lives and our brains actually do. In the book, Tom Berlin talks about the professor, Dr. Robin Dunbar. Dr. Dunbar says that there is a limit of how many relationships our brains can actually handle. Now, you might know a whole lot of people. You might be able to put faces with names. But we can only sustain a connection with about 150 people. The book challenges you to try to figure out your circles of closeness and interaction. You start with your 5 closest people, and then the next 10, and the next 20, and then 115 acquaintances. Who is in that circle? Who are you in closest relationship with? I challenge you to sit down this week and actually write down some of those names, figure out those 150. It's called Dunbar's number. And then you look at that list and see who is and who isn't on that list. How many of those names, he asks, represent someone of a different ethnicity, socioeconomic status, political, or religious belief? How many are significantly younger or older than you are? Are your circles primarily the same or diverse groupings? Are the people in your circles as different from you as the fisherman Simon was from the tax collector Levi? Or are they as different as those two were from the unnamed Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon? I know that my own circles are underrepresented by people of color, people who aren't straight or cisgender, and people who aren't Christians. Who doesn't appear in your 150 people that you need to go out and meet and build relationship with? You can do the same thing with the people here at Asbury. Who isn't here at worship, and who isn't active in the life of this church? What skin color, socioeconomic status, occupation, history with religion isn't represented at this church. And if you don't know people that match the gaps in diversity here at Asbury, then how are we going to expand the circle and add diversity at the church? If our church's diversity doesn't represent the community's diversity on many different levels, then we as members of this church must not have relationships that match the community's diversity. I said earlier that Jesus loves each of us and calls each of us to be part of the church. And when we read this story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman, she really seems to be the hero of our story. I think it might make us uncomfortable to see ourselves in Jesus' words and actions of ignoring her and belittling her. But I would hope and imagine that each of us could easily see ourselves in the woman's actions. I would guess that each of us has had a time when we have been desperate. We have been pleading and praying with God for a miracle for someone we love that is suffering. That's a human condition. And there are people out there in the community who are desperate for Jesus. They are pleading for a relationship, for a connection to others. They need help. They need love. They need support. And right now, they might feel ignored or slighted by the Christian community. They don't feel welcome. They don't feel comfortable walking inside our door. We can change that. We can befriend them and share Jesus' healing love with them, and the circle can expand by our actions, by our love, by our reaching out. We can expand the circle. The reality is that as we bring people into the family of God who are different from us, who bring diversity of personality, political views, lifestyle choices, that it makes it harder to be in community together. Just like those 12 disciples camping for 3 years, being stuck as one family in one church isn't easy. We get to deal with the growing pains of expansion. But we also get to deal with the blessings of diversity. In the gospel message, Matthew was using a really old word, Canaanite, when he referred to this pleading woman's background. But if you look back at the first chapter of Matthew at his genealogy of Jesus that starts the gospel, you see a reference to three other Canaanite women, people that you wouldn't think belong in a Jewish Messiah's heritage. Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. Tamar, who had to fight for the justice that was her due after her father-in-law abandoned her. Rahab, a prostitute who saved the Israelite spies when they came to the Promised Land. Ruth, a foreigner who demonstrated unfailing loyalty to her mother-in-law. All three women were foreign Canaanites who should have been hated and despised, yet are included among Jesus' ancestors, adding beauty and power to Israelites' history. When we expand the circle, we deal with growing pains and tension of diversity, but look what wonderful things we gain by opening our lives to new relationships and new ways of following Christ. Are you ready to expand the circle? Are you ready to live a life open to new relationships, of noticing who is missing in your personal life and who is missing here at this church, and then going outside of your pre-established circles to bring in the lost and the least and the lonely? Are you ready for the circle to grow wider until it truly encompasses the whole earth? I pray we are ready, and that we see the suffering and the desperation of others, that we reach out and draw them into God's family to be part of this messy and beautiful thing that we call church. Let us pray. Wonderful God, we are challenged by this idea of Jesus not opening the door, of Jesus not expanding the circle. And it forces us to reckon with where we have closed the door for others, where we have shut off relationships and kept the circle small and manageable. Open our hearts and open our minds that we may truly share your reckless love with others. Amen. This time now, we give of ourselves, we give our lives and our gifts, and I invite you to give with reckless generosity. I ask you to stand and receive a blessing. So if this week's chapter is all a geometry lesson, it's all about the circle, right? No beginning, no ending, expanding the circle of God's love. No offense to Tom Berlin, but I'd like you to maybe think, if shapes are your thing, think this week about the U shape, about the horseshoe. Think about that. So when you're standing in circles, talking to people, having conversations at work or out and about, instead of being in a circle and closed off, think about paying attention to who isn't part of that conversation, who's around and maybe looking for an entry point, and making a point so that they can come in. And I mean both physically, are you standing in circles? Are you standing in an open horseshoe? And emotionally, in your heart, are you open to new relationships? Are you open to the way God may be calling you to befriend somebody new? And think about that horseshoe. I pray that you have a blessed week as you go out into the world to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your Lord. Peace be with you.
I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever for your love. Come down. Well,
back, everyone. And we'll see you next week.